Thank you. How's everyone doing today? Okay?
Excellent.
Yeah, excellent. Nice. All right. I want to go to a verse of scripture in Galatians chapter 4. Galatians 4. And talk about some things this morning that have to do with a little phrase from this scripture, okay? A little phrase that I hope will stick in your brains. And I am going to ask that you do cut me a little slack this morning because I am tired. I've been burning the candle on both ends, and I am extremely tired. Friday night, you say, well, just how tired are you? Well, Friday night at our worship night, towards around the end of it or so, Melissa was acknowledging for me to come to say a few things, and it didn't dawn on me until afterwards that I was supposed to lead in a time of prayer. I didn't even hear her say come. I heard her say, "Pastor, come," but when she said, "Will you come now?" I stuttered. I didn't even know where I was. I just went out of it. And I was going to say I had a Hillary moment, but I'm not going to say that. It's just funny. I mean, it's not a slam against her. It's just funny stuff. But I was going to go down. And that's how tired I am. But I finally made it up and said some things, and I sat back down, and I was like, oh, did she want me to, for people to pray, an opportunity for people to pray? And it was like, I think she did, you know. And I said to my wife on the way home, I told her, she said, oh, well, that's okay. Okay. So anyways, a lot of good stuff is going on. And we thank God for his presence. But you know what? Our time together isn't complete unless, you know, we look into the Word, right? And so in Galatians chapter 4, I want to look at verse 19, one verse, and I want to look at one phrase from this passage of Scripture. And he says this. He says, my dear children, for whom I am again in the pains of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. You see it there? That's the phrase that I'm after. Until Christ is formed in you. Now, the way that we look at this goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden. Remember the Garden of Eden? And back in the garden, remember when God created us, it says we were created how? How was I created? I was created in his image. So that, you know, in as much as, you know, my kids, you know, look like me when they're bad, they're acting like their mother. When they're good, they're acting like me, right? And you know, they, you know, it's easy to tell, right? With most families, you know, that, hey, you know, I know who she belongs to. I know who he belongs, because we are made in the image of our parents, right? And it isn't a far stretch, although it means more than that when we talk about being made in God's image. But I have been made originally in God's image, so that there's something about me that connects to God, having been made in his image. There's something about me that reflects not only whose I am his, but who I am as well, that I am a person made in the image of God. And so when he talks here, and he said, what does that have to do with, you know, Christ formed in you? So we come here now, we're going through a whole history from Genesis, where that image got not only pushed off balance, but it took a hard fall, right? Not only pushed off balance, but that image took a hard fall. So that now, you know, not only am I capable of acting like my God in whose image I am made, But because I took a fall from that, I also reflect an image that is so contrary to the image that I've been made in. And so when he speaks here now of Christ being formed in you, what he is talking about is how all of that now, how the pieces from that fall have been picked up. And what Jesus has done in his salvation. Jesus picked up the pieces. He picked up all the broken pieces. You know, all the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't walk. But Jesus does. See, Jesus does. And he picks up the pieces, and he's putting us back together again so that now I'm back on track, and only Jesus can do this. Amen. See, I'm back on track. You know, therapy can't do it. You know, pledging to be good, getting involved in whatever, can't do it. Only Jesus does this, that I'm back on track now once again to come back up to speed with reflecting the image that I have been created in. See? And that's what that means. So it isn't that, you know, somehow, you know, I'm going to be this, you know, this holy type of person, you know, when you say, well, you know, I'm a Christian, Jesus is in my life, Christ is in my life, you know, type of thing, and you conjure up these images of Christ being formed in you, you know, how's my halo type of thing. It means so much more than that. It means becoming who God made me to be. You see, that's what it means, that Christ is formed in me so that it's Bob like Christ, this Bob like Christ, you know, and that Bob like Christ, and you put your name like that. See, not that we become little Christ, you understand, but that there are some religions that teach that, you know, especially Eastern religions, but that we are, I don't want to go there, but the more Christ is formed in me, the more human I understand myself to be and all of its freedom that God created me to be. So Christ is being formed in me, and I want to go there this morning, okay? Let me read one more supporting scripture verse before I say some things, some more things. Colossians. Whew. Colossians. Yeah, Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. And so this is how Paul, who wrote that to the Galatians, saw himself. To the Galatians, he said, hey, he says, I'm working. He said, I'm working with you people. And I'm working with you so as to come alongside to help you to come into what God always intended you to be. And without Christ, you can never become what he's intended you to be. Christ formed in you. Powerful stuff. And so here he's saying pretty much the same thing, using a slightly different twist, and I want you to see it. In Colossians, he says, we proclaim him. And when you look at the verse preceding it, you see what he's proclaiming. What he's proclaiming is, he says, Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. Christ in you. Colossians 1:28. And he says, we proclaim him. Now look at what he says. Two ways he says, this is how we proclaim it. Admonishing and teaching everyone. Now, the teaching becomes somewhat more palatable for us, easier to receive than the admonishing. Yeah. I mean, I think we all understand admonish. Admonishing isn't screaming or being, you know, ugly and, you know, pointing the finger and trying to force someone into something. But it is a way of urging other people to receive, to get a hold of something. And if necessary, you know, a little boost, you know, the right foot of fellowship, the boost to help them get there, admonishing. And he says, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom. So that, and here it is, so that we may present everyone perfect in Christ. Now, that word perfect in the original language, teleos, doesn't mean perfect, you know, like we might think of perfect, that I'm, you know, I'm flawless, you know, I do everything right all the time. You know, my decisions are always 100% right. Just ask my wife. And, you know, perfection in that kind of way. And some people are really hung up in this type of thing here with this, you know, everything's got to be perfect. That's not what it means here. What it means here is that teleos means end or complete, completion, that I've reached the end for which God has destined me. That's what it means. So he's saying to them that we're working with you people so that at the end of it all, and you come before God, that you have reached the end of what he intended for you to be. That's what perfect means here. Or you might say mature. See, mature. Yet, is that clear? I mean, don't you're looking at me like you're smoking something. No, you don't. Right? Sorry. Right? And so we have to see our lives, and this is what I want to say to you this morning. You have to see your life in this kind of light. How you see yourself is where you'll end up. You ever play that little game in the snow? I've done it before, where you know there's a you know empty field that's white with snow, and if you say, you know, I'm going to walk to the other side of this field, and you just aimlessly walk, when you look back, it'll probably be like this, you know. But if you say, I'm going to walk over there to that tree, and you have a fixed point to which you're walking, and you go to that tree, when you look back, it'll probably be your tracks will probably be straight as an arrow. And so if we're able to catch this, that God's design, that God's purpose for your life and for mine is to reach the end for which he has purposed us, and that's perfection. And that perfection is nothing less than Christ formed in me. Bob like Christ. Then chances are, when we get to the end and we look back, wow, you know, yeah, I stayed on track. And there's so many examples that I could use of this. Take for just one example, Joseph in the Old Testament. And when you look at Joseph, you remember the guy with the coat of many colors? And he was given a dream. And that dream became God's intention for his life, the end for which God was going to work in his life to bring him. And you might say perfection, maturity in his life. Now, when it all began to happen, right, the dreams, it almost appears to be, almost, it does appear to be, he's going 180 degrees in a different direction from what God had said. Yeah, the dream was a nightmare. And, you know, God says to him, Joseph, you know, in so many words, you're going up. People are going to bow down to you, you know. You got stardom in front of you. And instead of going up, where does he go? He goes down. Down into the pit, right? It's like, you know, God, I don't know. This doesn't feel like up. This does not. Have you ever felt that way before? This doesn't feel like up, especially when you hit the bottom, you know? And Joseph, and does it get any better? From there, he's, you know, he's in another situation where it's like, wow, some sense is finally being made in my life. How blessed I am, you know. Second in command here to Potiphar, running his whole estate. I'm the man. And then what happens? He's falsely accused of rape, right? And where does he go? Off to prison. God, you just gave me something, and it was just taken away. And that was the second time that he felt like his gains became horrible losses. Wow. You know? Amazing. And I can continue on with the Joseph story, but the point that I'm making is that When he finally made it, he saw the purpose of God at work in some unlikely situations. It's like, you know, God, you know, why can't you do all those things in my life and it always be happy? You know, at least feel good 85% of the time. You know? And that's not what life is made of. That's not what's going to do it for me. Okay, so there we have it. So many examples of how this works. We see how it works in the life of Joseph. And that God brought Joseph to the end for which he designed his life to be. This is what God is after in your life and in mine. Now, what would have happened if Joseph, let's say in Potiphar's house, when he was tempted by Potiphar's wife to hop in bed with her? And what if he would have succumbed to that and done it? He would have pulled the plug on what God had for his life. And we have to see that about ourselves, that we can pull the plug on what God has for our lives. It's very possible. And so how close we need to stay to what God has for us. Now, one of the things that we know Jesus as is our Redeemer. And in situations in our life that we have compromised, or so we think compromised, the purpose that God has for our lives, we have to always read into that, that God is able to take a mess and yet put me back on the track that he has for me, because his name is Redeemer. And that's what Redeemer means. He's able to redeem the most horrible kinds of situations that I put myself into. Okay, now, Christ formed in me. I want to end it this way. Confession is good for the soul. And in the past probably month, I have felt, you know, God doing something in my own life that has been real challenging, stressful. I would say I didn't like it. And I would let it be known that I didn't like it. I told him, I don't like this. And the feeling was this. I woke up one morning and the song came to me. Someone's got to help me here with the lyrics. You all know how challenged I am with music. He walks with me through fire. What's that song, the line in there? Walks with me through fire. Huh? Thank you. See, it's for real. And it's like, so the song comes to me, right? And it's like, I'm serious. I'm like, no, I'm not listening to that. Because it's like, you mean to tell me fire's coming? Now, he said, I'm going to walk with you through it. I don't care. Because it's wonderful, you're going to walk with me through it, but it's me going through it yet, the fire. And it's like, wow, what's going on here in my life? And I want to just attack this for a little while, okay? So help me. Have you ever said, as an excuse, well, that's just the way I am? Maybe you were pretty forward with someone. Maybe you were a little, you know, sharp. Maybe, you know, whatever. And it's like, well, you know, this is how I am. This is the way I am. You know, and we use it to excuse our bad behavior. You ever say that to anyone? Well, that's just the way I am. You know, to love it or leave, you know, love me or leave me, but this is the way I am. And it's like we have that deep-seated thing within us. And one of the things that I hear is, well, Rulowitz, I don't like the way you are. And you got to change. And so that's one of the ways that I've, one of the places where I've been living lately for the past month or so, that there's been this thing, there is this thing in my life where the Lord has been after and after and after in me. Some of you saw the movie Sully. Anybody see it yet? Sully? It, go. Well worth it. You know the miracle on the Hudson? Sully Sullenberger, right, who landed the plane on the Hudson. Remember, it wasn't a crash. It was what? A landing under duress. A miracle, right. And he landed the plane. And remarkable story. And there are two things that he says about that, how, you know, landing that, and the challenges that he faced for the criticism that he initially took by those who investigate the FAA and so on, who investigate, and the pilots, all that, all those guys, that he said that, you know, for the way in which he handled things, he said, there was a statement that he made, that a delay is better than disaster. Remember that part of the movie? A delay is better than a disaster, you know. That he had to, you know, that delayed reaction to, you know, going, you know, making decisions to go in one direction, but, you know, the delay was there, and so he was forced into landing on the Hudson. And that delay saved, how many souls were on board? 155 people. That delay saved everybody on board. A delay is better than disaster. Now, I don't like to wait. Okay, this is my problem. This is no joke. We will pull up to a restaurant. No joke. If I see people in the parking lot making it for the front door, I will do everything in my power to get there ahead of them. See? Sandra is, you know, it's like, I'm going to drop you off at the front door. Then I'll go park, because I see 25,000 people coming to the same place we are. Listen, she as she's opening the door, I'm not come to a complete stop, and I give her a little push. Hurry. Hurry, you know. Because I don't like to wait. Tuesday night, we've been living out of boxes, no food in the house, because this is going to happen any minute, our closing, all this stuff. You got to pack, you know. So we went out to Pizza Castle to eat over here on Chase Avenue. We're there, and Sandra has to be at worship practice. I forget what time it was, whatever time. Say again? Thank you, Todd. And 6 o'clock. And so I don't have to be, I'm not in any hurry. None. I don't care if she's, I'm so tired, I want to eat. If she gets there at 6, I don't care. And plus, she's driving. So we're there at Pizza Castle. We get a phone call, Melody, number 2 daughter, and says, Mom, could, you know, Sydney hasn't eaten, or she's here at worship break, could you stop at McDonald's, bring her whatever. The little kid can eat 5 cheeseburgers, 3, it's incredible. And so McDonald's is right, I'm going someplace with this long, drawn-out story, right across the street is McDonald's. We go over to McDonald's. Now, something is happening in the drive-through line. Bob's got to wait. And it's like, you got to be kidding me. Now, I'm not in any hurry. And we still have time to make it, whatever. It is like the line's not moving. It's not moving so much that the guy at the window, you know, he peeks his head out to see what happened. I could tell that, you know, he was a Spanish guy. So I stuck my head out the window. And I said a few things to get the line moving. I put my head back in the window. Sandra looks at me and says, I'm never going any place with you again. I'm like, now, this story's not over with. Because I pay no attention to her. And I'm like, And finally, the line moves. The young lady in the car ahead of us decides, as she's driving away from the window, of which we have gotten our stuff and are behind her, decides to start eating her food. I could see her, because I got a bead on her. I said to Sandra, if you don't beep your horn right now, I'm reaching over and beeping your horn, this girl. And she looks at me again, you got to stop it, she says, you know. And we drive off, and I'm like, what in the world is, what's going on with you? What's up with this stuff, you know? And I'm seeing this pattern of impatience in my life. And how it was that I talked to our people handling the closing on one day, and she says, this is going so smoothly. Because it was supposed to happen on the 29th of August, 3 days ahead of the contracted closing date. This is going so smoothly, it's incredible, you know. 2 days before the 28th, that would be the 27th, I get a phone call saying that there's a little bit of a glitch, it'll probably take about a week delay. Well, I'm sticking my head out the window and saying a few things. You know, what? You know, this is, it's like there's a little glitch. And it's almost 3 weeks. Well, you can't imagine where I've been living in this delay. I have to say that if I had to give myself a grade, I'd probably give myself a C. I'd like to think maybe a C plus, but probably a C minus. Because I really tried to do better. But in all of that, what I was seeing was that God orchestrated by his Holy Spirit all of these things to get at something in me. All right? So that where I was lacking in Christ being formed in me, in that thing in me that was what it was going to take for me to be able to take the next step, as it were, towards reaching the end of the purpose for which God had in my life, he orchestrated all that stuff to get at me. And you've heard me say it before. If you haven't, you will. And that is this. God fixes a fix to fix us. If we fix the fix before God fixes the fix, he has to fix another fix to fix us. Now, I'll tell you, I'm a fix-it guy. You know? I can fix it. It's like, God, no worries. There's a problem here. You cannot imagine the amount of phone calls, emails, letters, people that I talk to in this delay. Our attorneys who are working for us are top attorneys. You can't imagine what they did to try and hurry this along. And there was no moving it. Because God said, this isn't going to move until something is fixed in you. Because if I fixed the fix, but he just fixed another fix to fix me. I was in a fix. Okay, here we go. Let me finish it up now by bringing this thing to really help you. So I look at it this way, and I want to say there are three things that go along with this whole idea of Christ being formed in us and making it to what God has for us. Okay? The first one is this. They all have to do with listening. The first one is simple. Listen to God. Listen to him. Do you understand what I mean by that? Have you ever said to your kids, listen to me? Now, what you mean by listen to me, when you say listen to me, is not that they just stop and, you know, they're listening what you say. But you want them to do what you're saying for them to do. Listen to me. And you want them to act on what you're saying. So God said, listen to me. Just listen to me. Listen to me. And we become involved in so many things, and we listen oftentimes, it isn't that we listen to the wrong voices a lot of times, it's that we neglect to say, Lord, what's your advice on this? Lord, what do you think about this? Lord, what's your counsel on this? You see, listen to me. God, what do you think about this, God? And there has to be this thing. If Christ is going to be formed in us, and God wants that to happen, well, we got to listen to him. Who are you listening to? Here's the next one. Listen for the Holy Spirit. Listen for the Holy Spirit. So when you find yourself in a set of circumstances that are anything but desirable, say, Holy Spirit, what do you want to do in my life in regards to these circumstances? Holy Spirit, what are you doing? See, listen for the Holy Spirit. Boy, maybe he's in this to get at something in me, to do something in me that without these set of circumstances would otherwise would not be taking place. You know? Now, the devil messes with us. Listen, he does. The devil messes with us. He really does. But boy, I'll tell you what. Sometimes I have blamed the devil when all the time it was God. Amen. You know, it's like, wow. So listen for the Holy Spirit in these things. And then the last one is this. And you're going to say, boy, really? Yeah, really. Here's the last one. Have you ever talked to someone, you know, you're in conversation, you know, someone new, you haven't met before, and you introduce each by giving your name, right? You walk away after the conversation, and what do you forget? Now, let's see, was it Joe, was it Frank, was it, you know, who was I just talking with? And I know there's some psychology involved in this. You know, you got to fixate on a quirk or something about that person to help you remember whatever. But sometimes it just can be because, what? We really weren't paying that, we weren't listening very well in the conversation. Have you ever been in a conversation with someone, and while speaking in that conversation, you were, as someone was speaking to you, you were more engaged in what you were going to say next than really hearing what the other person was going to say. And so this is my third point in this whole thing of Christ being formed in us and maturing, reaching what God, because it really has to do with this ministry of listening to other people. Just listening. You know? Has anyone ever just listened to you when you went away? You said, boy, I feel so much better. And they didn't even say anything. They didn't even give you any money. They just listened. Oh, it's happened to me. You know? You just listened. And there has to be, I just want to draw our attention to this because in our growing, Christ being formed in us, this whole idea, this whole place of listening to other people. Just listening. Remember Job? And Job had three friends. And I say, you know, with three friends like that, Job didn't need the devil. You know? And it says that his three friends, when they came and they saw Job's misery, it said that they sat there with him for 7 days. And then after the seventh day, they made a big mistake. They made a big mistake. They started to give Job counsel as to the reason to his misery. And it was the last thing that Job needed to hear. And I think that sometimes, you know, in our relationships with each other. My wife and I, we talk about this often. We do. In our work with people, and we say to ourselves as we come to know this person or that person, none of you here, say, you know, sometimes you just don't know the misery that's going on in people's lives, the heartache, the brokenness. You just don't know because sometimes, you know, people, you know, they don't wear it or they wear it well. And then, you know, those who are really hurting, what they're really looking for is someone who will just listen. Now think about it, and I end with this. When you talk to God, does he interrupt you? Think about it. You know, sometimes we complain, well, I don't hear anything from God. He's too respectful. He's too good of a listener to interrupt. He's showing his compassion for us by what? By listening. If he hears us, the scripture says, we have what we've asked for. He's listening. He's too good of a listener. And the thing that I've also discovered about him is that when he listens, he doesn't listen with the pretext of coming back with a judgment. This just blows my mind. Do you understand that? He doesn't listen under the pretext of coming back with a judgment, but he listens with a heart of compassion. I can't tell you, especially in those times where I would have given myself a cuff. You know what a cuff is? And he listens, and I feel like he says, I understand. I understood the pressure you were under. Right? It's not excusing bad behavior, you understand? It's not excusing bad behavior, but it's compassionate concern and care. He listens with compassion, see? And so I say to you, to be more like Christ, listen with compassion. Listen to other people with compassion. Give it a try this week, will you? Listen to God. Lord, you know, what are you saying? God, Lord, give me advice in this. See, listen for the Holy Spirit. Boy, Holy Spirit, what do I need to hear from you in this circumstance, what you're doing in my life? And then listen to someone. You know? Listen. Listen with compassion. What do you think? What do you think?
Speechless.
You're listening, yeah.
Thank you,
yeah. Listen. 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 I can't get away from this whole idea of, because I've been there. Someone gets in trouble. Now they were asking for it. They made their bad what? I got to sleep in it. You know, he was a knucklehead. She was a knucklehead. Wow, they're getting what they deserve. You know, what are we doing when we do that? Pronouncing what? Judgment. Now, some of that all may be true, but it preempts us from listening with compassion. You know, maybe they are getting what they deserve, but God help us to be compassionate. You understand? Maybe they are. Oh, shouldn't we be more compassionate if they're getting what they deserve? Oh, heaven help us. Heaven help us. You see, heaven help us. You know, these kids who are addicted to heroin, and we say, oh, well, you know, died, went on a bit that, well, you know, they got, well, they shouldn't be doing it, got what they deserve. Oh, no. No. So I want to listen with compassion. Let's stand together in his presence. I'm done. Are you listening to God? What's your advice on this? What's your take on this, God? You know, what's the Holy Spirit? What are you listening? You know, are you listening in your circumstances to what the Holy Spirit is doing? Father, as we're here in your presence and we say amen to this service and these words and our worship on this Lord's Day, as we go off to the remainder of this first day of the week and then heaven help us for Monday, Lord, as we go off into another work week and school week and all of those things, that we would be strengthened as a result of having bed together today, that our tanks would be filled up. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, listen, God bless you, okay? Don't run right off, okay? Say hi to some people. God bless you. Be blessed.